I've preached a lot of difficult lessons in my life. I've preached before people that did not like me. I've preached before people who loved me and they cared for me, and those sermons were really easy. But this morning at about 4:30, I guess, Baptist Hospital in a hallway, my daddy asked me if I was going to preach this morning. And I said, "Dad, I don't know." He said, "Well, your mama would want you to." And so I said, "I guess I will then. I better do what my mama says." My mother, one time, I will say this, and then we'll get into the lesson. I remember when my mother quit smoking. I was a little bitty boy. I think the name of the cigarettes were L&M cigarettes. I guess that brand is still around or not. But I remember when she quit. She told me that she was doing it because she did not want me growing up and falling in her bad habits. And then I remember when she helped me quit smoking, when she kicked me off the back porch. She kicked me really hard. And she was always concerned about me doing the right thing. And she brought me upright. She whipped me a lot, and it took it. And I know that this is what she would want me to do this morning. Just talk about the Lord, talk about the gospel, and encourage people to do what's right. So, I appreciate all the things that have been said this morning. Appreciate the prayer of Brother Sharp. I appreciate the words my brother Van Devender. Appreciate all of your kind words this morning. I appreciate them so deeply. And I can't tell you how much. I do really appreciate it. And we're going to need you in the next few days. With those things being said, we're going to talk this morning about the importance of being members one of another. Another thing that's going to make this lesson difficult is the type of lesson that it is and the things that we're going to be talking about. The need for us to be members one of another is a very clear Bible subject. We are taught so clearly in the Scriptures that we need to be members one of another. And that being in an age in which we live in an individual society, individualistic society. It's all about me. It's about my wants, my selfish desires. It's about what's best for me. What would suit me at this moment? But you know what? This world and how we live in it in order to please God is not and cannot ever be about me and about what I want. It's always got to be about what God wants, what's spiritual and what's first in life. We do live in an individualistic society, no question about that. Even many who profess faith in Christ, you know, they live a life that is individualistic. They want to be left alone Christians. They want to be left alone by the elders. They want to be left alone by other members. They want to be left alone by the preacher. They want to be left alone by everybody. They want to live out there on their island all by themselves and be independent Christians. You know, I never read of that kind of Christian in the New Testament. Do you? Christianity is built upon and is demonstrated by, in the New Testament, so clearly, relationships. And without relationships, as brothers and sisters in Christ, without a relationship first and foremost with God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we could not be Christians. It depends upon that relationship. In fact, just think about some of the terms that are being used in the New Testament as we read through our New Testaments. Think about some of these terms. God's family. God's family. What is a family? A family is made up of individuals who love and care for each other. That's what a family is. God's kingdom, God's army, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, assembly of the called out of God, Christ's sheepfold. What happens to sheep? If one gets separated from the flock and it gets out there by itself, that sheep is in danger. The Lord knew it. And we better learn it. We need to be members of God's family. We need to be members of God's kingdom. And you know, an army that doesn't fight together falls together. Just like a team that doesn't play together we'll lose together. We need to be team-oriented. There's no I in team. There is no such thing as individualistic Christians. It's not about being selfish. It's not about what I want, but about what the Lord wants in serving Him and about our fellow Christian, our brother and sister in Christ. The phrase "one another" appears over 50 times in our New Testament. And this phrase, as it is rendered, love one another, edify one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, as we studied this morning, be compassionate one for another. All these expressions, and throughout the New Testament is replete with these expressions. One another. Christianity is a one another religion. I remember talking and having a Bible discussion with a friend of mine at the time, who was at that time preaching the gospel of Christ in Ozark, who later left the truth and went off on some of this Carl Ketcher side stuff. And one of the things he told me is that Christianity is not a one another religion. No wonder he got off on the wrong track. No wonder. We need to realize our dependency, our need for one another, and there is nothing more clearly that I know of taught in the New Testament than that very fact. We need each other. We need to help each other, encourage each other. In Romans the 12th chapter, verses 3 through 5, we find this expression, members of one another. Verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Don't be an individualistic, selfish, proud Christian, but to think soberly. Think as you really are, no better than anybody else. "As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Individuals, yes. Individualistic? No. Selfishness? No. Pride? No. There's no place for those things, those attitudes and dispositions in the kingdom of God. No place for those things. We must put those things aside and be members one of another. Yes, we're individuals. We're going to stand in judgment as individuals, by the way. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for our life as individuals. And a lot of that is going to depend upon how we have served one another. Individually, members one of another. You know, what does it take to be a member of a club? A social club, whether it's the Kiwanis or Rotary or whatever club you may think of. Maybe it's, you know, the Little League organization or something like that. Well, the first thing you have to do is become a member. You have to become a member of that. You have to express your desire to be a member of that particular club. You have to attend some of the meetings. Maybe not all, but you have to attend some to be a member in good standing. And you have to follow their rules, whatever rules they are. You have to follow those rules or be disbarred. And you have to support the work. In other words, you have to pay your dues. You have to pay your dues. Now, some organizations, that's all they care about, your dues. That's it. But these are some things that I think we realize that it's required. These things are required for you to be a member of some organization, some civic organization. But is that all there is to it? Is it that we sometimes think of the church as some kind of social or civic organization, and if we become a member and we attend a few of the meetings and we follow the rules, we're not an evil person and we support the work, then that's it. That's all we have to do. Is that all there is to being a member of a local church? I want to throw that question out to you this morning, and I want you to think about that. I had a question called in or emailed in on the radio program this past week. Is it necessary for one to be a member of a local church? Well, certainly it is. It's for your own good. It's for the good of the body. Certainly it is important. You know, we're going to read in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, the principle so clearly set forth, I don't think any reasonable, rational thinking person could walk away from the lesson this morning and say, you know, I don't need the local church. I don't need Christians in my life. I can do it all by myself. I'm going to tell you right now, when we leave this morning, I don't see how in the world you could rationally defend that position, because the Bible is just too clear on this subject. Let's begin in Romans chapter 12. We've read down through verse 5. Let's pick up and let's just read together a little bit from the Bible this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 16. We're not going to go into an in-depth exegesis of the text, but we are going to pull out some of the key points that the Apostle Paul mentions and how it interrelates with our subject, being members of one another. Let's begin in verse 6, and keep that in mind, by the way, as we read through the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Isn't that interesting how the Apostle Paul and many other writers in the Scriptures, they'll make a point and they'll develop that point and then they'll conclude with the same point, just to drive it home again. That goes back to verse 3, by the way. Through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And there you have it again in verse 16. Do not be wise in your own opinion. But to be members in one body, the Apostle Paul lays out some things here that are required. Number one, participation. Now that doesn't mean that everyone participates in the same way. And that's clearly something that the Apostle Paul speaks about. Yes, we have different ability. We have different talents. Verse 4 makes that point again, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. We don't all do the same thing. I have the work that I'm supposed to do. And I am to do it with the ability that God gives me to do it. And I'm to be faithful in that charge. And whatever it is that you have the ability to do, you're to be faithful in that charge. You're to carry out that duty and that responsibility. You're to be faithful to your task, you're to be faithful to your God, and you're to be faithful to your brethren in Christ. So we need to be participating in the work of the local church, not just by paying our dues, but by actively being involved in doing what we can do. We have something for everybody to do. I assure you of that. And things, as we have continually progressed in our efforts to reach out and to preach the gospel and teach the gospel here in the community of Little Rock, more and more has been needed from our members here. We've had members who have stepped up and they've labeled CDs and they've mailed out CDs and they've done this and they've done that and all the wonderful things that brethren are stepping up and doing, coming in and screening our calls for the radio program and many of the things that have been done to, you know, fill the gap, if you will. Those things are needed. And we need to participate in what we can do. And this requires concern and respect for one another. If we're going to be working together, certainly we must show the proper concern and respect for one another. You have to do that. And people who are selfish, you know, they don't care about what other people think. We must be humble, see, if we're going to work within the framework that God has established for us to work. We must, as verses 9 and 10 say, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So, as he goes there in verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And whatever gift that may be in application to you, you need to use that. Be faithful in that. And you need to respect others. That means that we're working together. That's what that means. And without us working together, there would be no body. There would be no such thing as a local church. And something else that the Apostle Paul says this requires. It requires that we prefer one another there at the end of verse 10. We are to prefer one another. We are to have preferential association with one another. What does it indicate if your preferential association is with people in the world? What does that say about your mind? About your desire? About your love? What does that say about that? You see, we should want to be with people who have the same mind. That is, we want to serve God. We want to go to heaven. You see, we want to be people who are working together serving God. It requires association. Do you desire to be with the saints, to worship? Not just worship, though. To associate outside of the place of worship. To associate and be with one another and to work together. That's what this is all about. And it does take teamwork to carry out the gospel as God would have it to be carried out into the world. It requires helping one another. You know, when a local church has just the elders and a few deacons doing all the work that's going on, that church is in trouble. We need everybody doing what they can do. It takes every part doing its share. And that's what he says in verses 13 and 14, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving the hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We're helping one another. We are to distribute to the needs of the saints. To reach out and help, whatever that need may be, whether it's financial need, whether it's emotional support, whatever that may be, we're to reach out and help and to encourage and support whatever we can provide. It requires one another religion, doesn't it? And it requires, of course, again, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This all takes humility. We've got to swallow pride if we're going to work together in a local congregation and be successful at it. We've got to be humble. We've got to see ourselves as God sees us. And we've got to see one another as being equal in this work. We're all equal. Just because someone is an elder or someone is a preacher doesn't mean that they're any better whatsoever than anybody else. Everybody in the body of Christ is equal. We just have different works, different roles. Of course, I guess you could say that really we all have the same role and that we're all servants. I don't care what it is that you're doing, you are a servant. That's what you are. To serve God, first and foremost. That's your work and responsibility. Let's turn over now to the book of 1 Corinthians. And let's notice what the Apostle Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. And let's again read the Word of God together, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one body. What kind of background do these people have that were coming into the body of Christ in the first century? What kind of backgrounds did they have? What kind of associations did they come out of? What kind of world had they lived in? You had Jews, you had Gentiles, you had heathens, you had prostitutes, you had homosexuals, you had all kinds of people that were forsaking those sinful activities. They were turning away from the life of sin and they obeyed the gospel. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. They had come out of those things. All kinds of folks. People that in the previous culture as it existed, Jews and Gentiles, they hated each other. But now here they are in the body of Christ. And they're to work together. For in fact, going on in verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member but many. One body, but many members. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member,
where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are members of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Individually, we are members of one another, is what Paul is again saying. And what he's emphasizing in this text, first of all, he's emphasizing being a participant, not a spectator. You know, even as he's mentioning there, in verse 14, in fact, the whole body is not one member but many, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand. Okay? You know what? The foot has its part in the work of the body, doesn't it? Even the toe, your big toe, has an important work in your body function. Have you ever seen someone that had their big toe cut off and how difficult that made life for them? Or what about having a thumb, just a little digit here? Now, your toe lives its life in darkness, but your thumb is always out there. And what if the big toe thought, you know what, I think I want to be a thumb. And maybe someday if I'm a really good toe, maybe someday I'll be a thumb. Doesn't work like that. No, your toe is perfectly satisfied living in that dark environment as a toe. Now, nothing wrong with that. The toe's important. We need to accept whatever it is that we have and use whatever it is we have for the glory of God and participate. We're not here to spectate. Worshiping God is not a spectator sport. Serving God is not a spectator sport. It's not something that is left up to the elders and the preacher. It's not something that is left up to the deacons. It is something we should all participate in. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in these verses that we have just read. We need to recognize we are members one of another and we're to work together. Each part is to fulfill its responsibility. And something else the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. Look again at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's foolish, isn't it? And Paul is drawing upon that. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I am not of the eye, or I am not an eye, I am therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Again, rhetorical question. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You see, we're all different. We all have our different tasks, but who's more important than anybody else in the body of Christ? Nobody. We're all equally needed. We all have our own responsibilities and duties. And if we fail, then the body is going to be hurt in that area. The body is going to be hurt in that area. Something else that Paul is emphasizing in this text. He's emphasizing dependence and not independence. Dependence and not independence. He's emphasizing being a participant, not a spectator. He's emphasizing equality, not superiority. He's emphasizing dependence and not independence. We need each other. Well, don't we? Verses 14, 17, verses 21 through 27, he drives it home, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Can't do that. We need each other. God, in His infinite wisdom, has established the local churches the way He has intended, and He has done it for a reason, and it's a good one. We need each other. And something else. Throughout this text, you just hear it over and over and over again. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members. That one body. One. Unity. Not division. There in verses 18. In verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. How many bodies? One. And as you go on down there in verse 20, look at what it says. But now indeed there are many members, yet how many bodies? One. Boy, but then you get down to verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division. There should be no schism. There should be no gossiping and backbiting and murmuring and complaining. No, we need to pick it up and do what we're supposed to be doing and serve the Lord and take care of our work in faithfulness to Him. Don't complain about what other folks aren't doing. That's not going to get you nor them anywhere. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, go to them in love. Go to them in love and talk to them about it, because you want them to be doing what they need to be doing so that the body can be better equipped to serve the Lord and we can grow thereby. You know something else about the body? You know, I asked Michael on the way to services this morning what he had forgotten left at home. He's in for the weekend and he had a big old stack of stuff there in the back seat. Usually when they come home for the weekend, they go back, they forget something. It's just almost automatic. And I asked him, what have you forgotten? He said, nothing. You know, you don't have to ask. And when I would come home, I remember one of the things that I was really bad about when I was in school, especially in the fall and the winter, I'd leave my jackets at school. I'd leave them there because, you know, in the afternoon it'd get warm and I just didn't think about it. Going out and getting the bus or getting even in the truck. When I got older, I had this same problem. It was warm outside and I didn't think about needing that jacket. And I left it and my mama would fuss at me. She fussed at me probably as much about leaving my jackets at school as she did anything else. But you know what? Never had to ask Michael, where's your arm at, son? You just leave it somewhere? You know, if you lost a part of your body, you would know it. Why is that? Because, number one, it's going to hurt when it's taken away from you. Really bad. And number two, it's something that you use all the time. It's something that you need. And certainly you're going to miss it if you don't have it. Even people who have lost digits. And I was working in construction and I worked with a lot of people who were missing digits on their left hand especially. From skill saw accidents, table saw accidents, band saw accidents, all kinds of saw accidents. And I'm sure that was really hard for them at first, you know, to get used to not having that digit. Difficult. You don't lose them part of your body and just, oh, where'd that go? It doesn't happen that way, does it? No, we realize that we're a part. You know, all of our members are important. So I think we can understand that. Something else, though, as we turn over to another passage. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. We're going to rush through the first three verses of this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That's a little parenthetical phrase there to explain the descending of Christ. But verse 11 now, back to the point. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We've already talked about a lot of this, haven't we? We've already dealt with some of this. But let's notice there in the first three verses again, what does Paul demand from us? He demands that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is something we should give diligence to. We should really, really want unity in this local congregation. Now, certainly we should want unity everywhere that people call upon the name of God. We want unity that is based upon the truth, verses 4 through 6. The truth that is revealed in the Word of God is the only thing that can truly bring unity. And when people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, we just need to go ahead and we just all need to agree to disagree, that is a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of phooey. You cannot have unity, as the Bible teaches it, based upon disbelieving the truth. You've got to have the truth first. And we're all to be united upon that truth. That requires study, it requires effort, it requires work, it requires the proper attitudes that are mentioned in verses 1 through 3. Lowliness, I've already talked about humility, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. All of those things are required. We are members in one body and we need to work at keeping it that way. We need to love each other. Need to work at unity. And that doesn't come accidentally. We do not have unity in this local church, nor does any local church have unity without it being something that people put a lot of effort into. Doesn't happen accidentally. It demands that we stand united upon the truth, as we said, especially verses 4 through 6, and then again verse 15, speaking the truth in love. And it demands that we grow. The Apostle Paul is demanding in this text that we grow. How do we grow? Is that necessarily numerically? Not necessarily. We grow spiritually, individually, as a body. We grow together. Any body that does not grow, dies. Anybody that does not grow, dies. We need to grow. And demands that we use what God has given us that the body grow. God has given us gifts. Now here in the context, certainly he's talking about, I think specifically, miraculous spiritual gifts. However, you know what? God has given us all gifts, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. He's given us spiritual gifts. They're not miraculous, but they're spiritual. We have spiritual abilities that God has given to us, and we need to use them. Some have the ability to speak publicly. Some have the ability to do that. Some have the ability of being just leaders. They lead by example and they lead people. Others have the gift of teaching. They know how to get their point across. They know how to communicate. That's what teaching is, by the way. It's communicating what you know to someone that doesn't know that. That's what teaching is. And there are some people that are just naturally gifted at that. They are naturally born teachers. God gave them that gift. And we all have something that God has given us. We, again, going back to the point that we made earlier from Romans chapter 12, you know, God has given us something to use. We need to use it. And again, we need to participate. We need to be diligent in our pursuit for unity. We need to stand united upon the truth. We need to grow in truth. And we need to use what God has given us. We are members one of another. And again, you know, look at verse 16. This verse is so, so clear and so important. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now let me ask a very simple question. What if you are not doing your share in this local church? I want to tell you right now, you are holding back or hindering the local church here from being all it can be. That's what you're doing. Now, I'm not the one that's to tell you what you have the ability to do and what you do not have the ability to do. And I think that all of us need to look and reflect upon these things on an individual basis, certainly. But there's certainly nothing wrong with seeking help and assistance and talking with people and trying to find out what your abilities may be. And we need to do that. That's what elders and that's what others that you respect are for, and your parents and You need to seek out what you can do and then do it. And when every part does its share, it causes growth of the body. That's what we need, everybody working together. What we need is members being members one of another. Not just members that show up. Not just members that pay their dues. Not just members that go through the motions. But members that actually work and participate in the local church's work here. Day in, day out. Not just Monday or Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And doing what you can do in the local body. You know what? We are members. If you're a Christian, you're a member of God's family. Now, family says something to us, doesn't it? It talks about caring. It talks about loving. It talks about helping and being there for one another. That's what family is. And of course, first of all, we're a member of God's family and that we've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you a member of God's family this morning? Have you ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are a citizen of God's kingdom if we've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you a citizen in God's kingdom? I was planning tonight to begin a series of lessons on premillennialism. Lord willing, in a couple of weeks we will begin that study. But the kingdom of God is the church, and we need to be members and citizens of that kingdom, submitting to the same Lord. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Are you a soldier in Christ's army? Are you a member of Christ's body? Are you a part of Christ's church? Are you in Christ's sheepfold? Or are you wandering around out there all by yourself? Easy prey for Satan. Are you a member of Christ's body? Are you a member? If you are not, why not today? Because I tell you what, as Jesus talked about, you know, when you become a member of the body of Christ, yes, there will be suffering and persecution, as we talked about in our Bible class, but I'll tell you something else. You are going to inherit a family. A large family. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. People that care about you. Or they're supposed to care about you. And I believe we have a group of people here that want to do just that. Now, being a member doesn't mean that you just attend the meetings. You follow some of the rules and you support the work by paying your dues. But rather also, those things are important in that you support the work and you follow God's rules and you attend the services of the saints. But let me tell you this, and don't misunderstand me, those things are important. But it's more than that. We must love, honor, and associate with one another. One another religion, friend. We must serve, help, and sacrifice for one another. That's what we need to do. We must participate and work within the body of Christ. That's what this is all about. It's one another religion, and we're dependent upon one another's work and efforts. We are to grow in the truth. That's what it requires. We're to continue to grow, to study God's Word, and to apply God's Word and grow in our development as Christians. And that takes effort from one another, doesn't it? And striving for unity. Working together to develop that unity that Christ prayed for in John chapter 20, verses 17. Or John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And develop godly attitudes, beginning with humility. Are you here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel? This morning, if you've never done that, you need to become a member of this body by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I say this body, I'm talking about the body in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Members of one another, the body of Christ. That is the body that you need to become a member of. Then you need to work and labor with a local church, a local body of believers. If you've never done that, why not this morning? Why put it off anymore? Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, have your sins washed away, and have the hope of heaven? If you are a Christian and you're not doing what you ought to do, this lesson really has been pointed towards you. And I hope that we all can take the lesson and learn from it, develop from it, and beginning today, we can be better working towards the things that we need to work towards as a local church in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the Lord's invitation. We plead with you, beg you, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.